This is the LZR Project, an episodic story series by David N. Alderman. The LZR Project takes place within David's Expired Reality universe and serves as a prequel to the main novels in his Expired Reality series. The LZR Project is produced by the Crossover Alliance Publishing Company. Episode number 3. The date is Wednesday, April 7th, 1998. David Corbin glanced down at his watch. 3:24 a.m. He took a sip of coffee and enjoyed the bitter taste as it coated his throat. Peering out over the rooftop of the Bank of Lysalis building, he took in the beauty of the city at the early hour. Neon lights flashed in the distance in the Midnight District, while a red haze poured out of the Passion District, lighting Lysalis in a menagerie of vibrant colors. The fresh, cold air reminded him of his days in high school when he woke early to take walks around the block before joining his friends for breakfast at the start of each school day. Veronica drew close to his side. This should be fun. He took notice of the bright purple blossom in her charcoal black hair. She had it positioned close to her left ear, adding a colorful accessory to her face. "Is everyone ready to go?" he asked. "For the most part," she answered. "Sean won't stop harassing Ridley to show him the real weapons. He'll learn." Veronica sighed, and David knew it was her way of conceding to his judgment. He took another sip of coffee, hoping the caffeine would wake him up in time for their mission. At the half hour, all of them would leave to search the city for Scarlet Rogue. Physically, he was ready to go, wearing his bulletproof vest and black shirt and pants. A holster on his right hip held a pulse pistol calibrated to stun mode. The hydrogen-powered gun was the only one David felt comfortable enough to carry, due to the fact that it had a stun option. The glowing water that swished around the chamber of the pistol gave some the impression that it was a futuristic-looking squirt gun. But David knew that the energy pulse the gun procured was powerful enough to paralyze someone for life, if the setting was turned up high enough. "You know, my brother wasn't always an ass." David glanced over the edge of the building and spotted the glowing neon woman in a purple skirt and red halter top, the icon for Tats Tats, below them. "I know." Veronica moved in front of him, forcing him to look straight into her brown eyes. "Do you? I know that your brother means well, overall," he said. She frowned. "But David, overall isn't going to be good enough when it comes to taking out Big and all of his cronies. Sean needs to learn that you're the leader of this group. You always have been and always will be. He can't be flaunting himself as some hotshot who thinks he runs the world." David spotted a flickering red neon sign advertising Sin Soda in the distance. "So we'll keep an eye on him." Veronica shook her head and huffed a bit. "That's not good enough." Her face twisted, consternation highlighting her usually flawless features. There was a pain and frustration in her eyes that he could feel. "I really think you should pull Sean out of the project," she said. "At least until he can get his head screwed on straight." He glared at her. "I don't want to do that. I know he's your brother, and you feel obligated to watch over him, but he'll be fine. If he gets out of hand, I'll reel him in." "David, if my brother gets out of hand, it will be too late to reel him in." The stairwell door opened and Carrie stepped out onto the roof. "Hey guys, time to go. They have an SUV waiting for us downstairs." She turned and vanished back into the building. "I'll have you drive it," David said to Veronica as he started toward the stairwell. She reached out and gently grasped his arm. He stopped, a bit startled by her actions. He looked into her pleading eyes. "Please," she said. "At least think about what I'm saying here." She let go of his arm. He nodded, taking another sip of coffee. "I will." Once David, Veronica, Carrie, and Sean were in the SUV, they started through the city in hopes of finding some clues as to where Scarlet might be hiding. Roger Belmont had given them some tips to go on, but they all seemed pretty worthless to David. One tip suggested Scarlet might have been seen at one of the local bars. The problem with that was that there were a dozen or so bars in downtown Lysalis, and the person who supposedly sighted Scarlet hadn't named which bar. Another tip said Scarlet had been seen near the subway system, but the system ran for miles underground, and they didn't have the time or resources to search all of the tunnels for her. Sean yawned and leaned his head against the window of the back passenger seat. "Where are we going?" Veronica glared at him through the rear-view mirror. "Roger gave us one realistic lead on Scarlet. Supposedly someone sighted her around early grind." "A coffee shop?" Sean's voice squealed like a speared pig. "Are you kidding me? We're looking for an escaped convict in a coffee shop?" Carrie sighed. "Can you stop getting all dramatic about everything? Please, it's way too early in the morning for you to be a drama queen." Sean rolled his eyes. Shut up, Carrie. I wasn't even talking to you. David spun around from the front passenger seat. Don't talk to her like that again, Sean. Or what? Veronica stopped the vehicle in the middle of the empty street. Sean, you better sit back and shut up, or I'm going to kick you out of this vehicle right here, right now. Sean crossed his arms and sulked in his seat. They continued through the city, finally pulling to a stop across the street from Early Grind. Everyone exited the vehicle. Without warning, Sean slammed his door as hard as he could. I'm done. He ripped off his bulletproof vest and threw it to the ground. Veronica grabbed her brother by the arm and slammed him against the vehicle. What are you talking about? I'm done with this shit. I'm done taking orders from David. I'm done having you treat me like your enemy. And I'm done with Carrie acting like a brat. I'm done with all of it. David reached his hand out toward him, motioning to the pulse pistol on Sean's hip. As much as he wanted to argue with Sean, he knew they didn't have time. Sean placed his pulse pistol in David's palm and then turned to walk away. Veronica grabbed her brother's shoulder and spun him around to face her. We're in the middle of a mission. Don't try talking me back into this stupid group. Not while David's in charge. He started down the street, muttering obscenities to himself. Good riddance, Carrie remarked. He gets real tiring real fast. We're better off this way, Veronica said. David put Sean's pulse pistol and vest into the SUV. It wasn't right for him to leave in the middle of a mission, though, he said. Our first one on top of that. It is, David. He could have jeopardized this whole thing all because of his stupid ego. Whatever, he said as he checked his back pocket to make sure his boomerang was in reach. We have to get into that coffee shop and find Scarlet before whatever small window of opportunity we have passes us by. Carrie looked toward the coffee shop across the street. He may have already blown our cover. It doesn't look like there's anyone in there right now, just a barista at the front counter. They started toward the cafe. Well, it's barely 4 a.m, Veronica said, so there may not be many people out in general. David ran his hands across his face as if he were wiping away the stress he was feeling. The coffee from earlier wasn't working very well to wake him up, and it actually upset his already unsettled stomach. He hated losing Sean, but he knew Veronica was probably right about it being for the best. He realized that Veronica had been right about a lot of things lately, especially about the drastic changes in her brother. When they entered through the front door of the coffee shop, a little bell above the threshold chimed to alert the barista to their presence. The barista, a middle-aged woman with her blonde hair in a ponytail, glanced up from the front counter. Dark shadows nestled under her eyes. David recognized worry in her tired gaze, but he wasn't certain if it was because of their presence or something else. Morning, she groaned. David approached the counter, grinning as best he could. The sharp scent of dark coffee grounds filled the room and helped to bring David to full alertness. We're looking for a woman who was sighted around here recently. Her name is Scarlet Rogue. The barista's eyes shifted to look at Carrie and then Veronica before returning David's gaze. Scarlet who? Rogue, you say? Veronica smiled. We're not here to play games. We're here from the LZR Project. Scarlet is a known criminal and we need to find her ASAP. The barista's eyes twitched. Her stare moved between Veronica and David, and then she tilted her head toward the bathrooms. David took the hint and moved toward the door that had a pink coffee cup emblem on the front of it, taking hold of the boomerang in his back pocket. Veronica motioned for the barista to keep quiet. She and Carrie drew their pulse pistols and made their way behind David as he slowly pushed the door open. Without warning, a loud slam echoed down the hallway to their right. David turned just in time to catch sight of a figure running outside to the other side of the building. He bolted from the restroom and rushed down the hallway. He heard Veronica yelling at him to slow down, but he didn't. Instead, he plowed through the coffee shop's back door, swinging it out so hard that the glass shattered against the building. He chased a figure into a back alley. Veronica screamed something out to him, something about Scarlet. He didn't care. He had Scarlet in his sights, and he wasn't about to let up on her now. The figure fled around the corner to the left, disappearing out of his view. He slowed his pace and shoved the boomerang into his back pocket, opting instead to pull his pulse pistol from the holster on his side. As much as he wanted to use his boomerang, he knew he would eventually have to get used to the pulse pistols, especially since they were so effective at stunning their victims. His secret agenda was to get Scarlet in custody before anyone else could so he could ask her what was going on. Stunning her would be the best way of doing that. He crept to the corner of the alley and took a deep breath, unsure if he was about to stroll into an ambush. He glanced behind him through the dimly lit alley with hope of finding Veronica and Carrie close behind, but they were nowhere in sight. David peered around the corner of the alley. The figure he had been chasing stood in the middle of an empty but well-lit parking lot, arms at her sides, a gray cloak and hood covering her form. David slowly made his way to the center of the lot, his eyes scanning the surrounding area to make sure there were no other people around. It was just him and Scarlett. He stopped a few feet from her and aimed his pulse pistol at her chest. "Get on the ground, Scarlett." "Put the weapon away," she said. "I'm not here to harm you." "I said get on the ground, Scarlett. I'm not playing games with you." "I'm not Scarlett, David." He kept his pistol trained on the woman. "What? Who are you? Why were you running from me?" "My name is Vector, and I was not running from you. You were running toward me." "Vector?" She nodded. "Let me see your face," he said. She shook her head. "I cannot allow that. You're not ready to see my face yet, David." He stood for a moment, staring at her. Her voice triggered familiarity, but he couldn't place it. Her hands peered out from the sleeves of the cloak, her pale skin scratched and scarred. A large blue ring on the ring finger of her left hand glowed with ferocity. "I asked you nicely to put your weapon away," she said. "If I wanted to harm you, I would have already." David had to know who this person was. But where is Carrie and Veronica, he thought. More importantly, where is Scarlet Rogue? He slowly lowered his weapon and slid it into its holster. "Very good," the woman said. "Now listen closely. Carrie and Veronica are being kept busy by your old friend Scarlet, so I have to make this brief." "Is that why they're not here?" he asked. She nodded. "David, I cannot allow you to know who I am now. I do need you to put your trust in me, though, because I have information that can help you and your friends." She shifted her frame so she was leaning on her right leg. "From here on out, you can call me Vector. You can tell your friends that I am Vector, but please tell them no more. I have information that will help you to capture Anacia's criminals, including Mr. Big, and finally put this city at rest, for a time." He narrowed his gaze on her. "Where did you get this information, and why are you being so generous with it? Does it matter where it came from? And my reason for generosity is mine to know." She stretched the wounded fingers of her left hand and groaned. "Are you okay?" he asked. She nodded. "Trust me when I say that you will need to step out of your comfort zone if you want to catch the criminals of Lysalis." "What do you mean?" "You're too absorbed with worrying about what everyone thinks, David. You never used to be that way." He stared at her, wanting so bad to place who she was. He peered into the dark shadows beneath the hood and tried to picture a face of some sort. She tilted her head to the right, obscuring any chance he had to see her face. "Don't try to see me, David. If you do see me, I will have to kill you. I really don't want to do that. I need you to be strong for the battles ahead. Lead Carrie, Veronica, and Sean into the missions you are given with confidence, and don't let others step on your toes in the process, including Roger Belmont or the rest of the Inera government." "How do you know me?" "I have seen things you have never seen before," she said. "I have been places no man or woman has ever been. I want to share my knowledge with you, David, to help you. When you've captured the enemies of Inera, you can rest, right?" He rubbed the back of his neck. "I hope so." "I hope so as well. You of all people in this world deserve rest. I want to give you that rest, but first much work must be done. I wanted Carrie and Veronica to apprehend Scarlet because I know what you are going through with Sean, and I know what transpired between you and Scarlet years ago. For now, heed my words about Scarlet. She is more a victim than a criminal." "What do you mean? What is this facility Roger said she escaped from? The last time I saw her, she was behind bars." A long pause ensued. David heard the sounds of a scuffle around the corner. The woman in the cloak took a deep, wheezing breath. "I must go. You will bring peace to this place, David, no matter how short-lived it may be." David heard someone scream. He turned toward the alley but couldn't see Veronica or Carrie. When he turned back toward the lot, the strange woman known as Vector was gone. In her wake swirled a strange cyclone of blue mist. David ran toward the coffee shop, hoping he could reach Carrie and Veronica in time. He backtracked through the alley and into the coffee shop. He finally found them outside the front of the store with a woman on the ground, her arms twisted behind her back. The woman tilted her head up so she could see David through a drapery of black and purple hair. "David?" He motioned for Carrie and Veronica to back away. They both exchanged confused glances but conceded to allow Scarlet to sit up. She rolled her wrists in the air, breathing hard from the pursuit. "Scarlet, I need to talk to you," David said as he took a seat on the curb next to her. She beamed at the sound of his voice. I need to talk to you, David. I need you to listen. I need you to know. I need you to understand. David put his hand on hers to calm her. "Scarlet, I need to know where you escaped from." She took a deep, frantic breath and then touched her finger to her chin. MHI. 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 Yeah, that's where I was. That was on the folders, on the doors, on the wall. MHI? What is that? What does that mean? M. M is for Morvain. H. She gawked at him as if he had a massive rodent dangling above his head. You came here for me? You came here to save me? You're the hero, aren't you? The hero who came to save me. David grabbed hold of Scarlet's shoulders and shook her. Her wide eyes rolled around in her head and her lips pursed. Scarlet, focus. I need you to tell me what MHI stands for. Yeah, MHI. MHI is M for Morvain, H for Health, I for Institute. Morvain Health Institute, Veronica said. Damn. Why were you there, Scarlet? David asked. Scarlet looked up into the sky, completely ignoring his question. David took hold of her shoulders again, but before he could shake her back to reality, she burst out of his grip and shot to her feet. I'm not going back, she screamed. I can't go back there, David. David Corbin? David the hero? David my hero? I can't go back to the lab. The lab is bad. A bad lab. A lab that is bad. David slowly stood to his feet, afraid of spooking Scarlet off. Scarlet, what lab are you talking about? The facility doesn't have labs. It's a place to help your brain, okay? You're sick. You... Scarlet shook her head. No, David. No. I wasn't always sick. No, the lab. The lab that is bad made me sick. Sick it made me. The lab did things to me. Hold it right there, Scarlet Rogue. A man in a police uniform moved out from behind the corner of the building across the street. Who are you? David asked. Carrie and Veronica both moved closer to David, creating a wall between the officer and Scarlet. The officer flashed a silver badge at David and smiled from beneath a dark, blonde, handlebar mustache. Three more officers moved out from other corners. They pushed through David, Veronica, and Carrie and took hold of Scarlet. What are you doing? Veronica growled. This is our mission. Who are you? The officer with the silver badge approached David. I'm Special Agent Tears. Roger Belmont sent me here to help you out. He nodded to the officers who had Scarlet, and they moved her away from David and his team and headed toward a cruiser that appeared on the street. Thanks for making my job easier. Scarlet screamed and clawed at the officers, but she was no match for them. She called out David's name, but there was nothing he could do. Not yet. Agent Tears left with the other officers and Scarlet, leaving David, Carrie, and Veronica standing in front of the coffee shop. What just happened? Carrie asked. David fought the urge to chase after the police cruiser. Something didn't add up, and he knew he wouldn't be able to rest until he figured out what. I don't know. Veronica sighed. Looks like we were just the ones doing the dirty work so Belmont could get all of the credit. And where were you at? Meeting a new ally. Thank you for listening to the LZR Project. If you are interested in reading more of David Alderman's Expired Reality series, please check out thecrossoveralliance.com and make sure to check out the author's website at davidnalderman.com.